We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs and Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are looking forward to all that God is going to be doing here in the days ahead. And so we pray that you are staying cool. If you are not staying cool, if there's a problem with your air conditioner, please get that fixed as soon as possible. If you need a number to call, if you're in the central part of Brevard County here, Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. They can come out and try and analyze your problem, see what it would take to get it fixed and get you up and running. Listen, we've already had heat indices over 100 degrees. And that's pretty brutal. So if you have a working air conditioner, praise God. Let me tell you something about AC people that work on air conditioners and heating systems. They are working in exactly the opposite conditions that people are wanting to live in themselves. If they are working on an air conditioner, it is because it is hot and somebody's air conditioner has broken down. And so they're working in the brutal heat. And when they're working on heat, it's because their heater has not worked, and now they're there dealing with the cold. So, I mean, they are dealing with the most adverse conditions all year round. I want to ask you to do something. Would you mind praying for the people who are working on air conditioners and the people who are working concrete and asphalt and roofers, landscapers, people who are working outside in the full-blown sun and in the heat of the day? Would you mind joining me in praying for them? This is a very, very difficult season. I know a roofer, and he wears multiple layers of sun-protective SPF-type clothing and still gets a sunburn through the multiple layers, and he just keeps right on trucking. Right on through that. So, Father, I just want to pray for all of these essential personnel. Lord, we need roofs. We need roads and sidewalks and blocks made into walls and air conditioners and landscaping that needs to be done. And so, Father, I just pray right now that you would be with all of these individuals, that you would be their shelter and their protection. And Lord, that you would draw them close to you. God, I pray that they would be kept hydrated and that you would provide the relief for them that they need and the strength. And God, I just pray that there would not be one single individual this summer in Brevard County who would experience heat-related illnesses. God, I pray instead that you would keep them protected and safe for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we are now pretty far along in our beautification project at Merritt Assembly of God. So if you would continue to pray for us, that would be marvelous. We're looking. We like to advance, but I don't know if you've ever driven a manual transmission car, but when you are shifting gears, you don't want that to take a long time. That's what we are looking at this process as a shifting of gears so that we can do more, go faster than ever before, and be more effective for the kingdom of God. But we don't want to hold our foot on the clutch any longer than we have to. So if you would be praying for us that this week would go very, very well. Hope you had a great weekend. My name is Bob Arthurs. I don't know if I said that at the beginning today or not. Pastor Emeritus, Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to have you visit us. I know that a lot of people are hesitant to go out into unfamiliar places during this pandemic. You know, people have reopened up, and then there's been more infections and more people testing. And, you know, we're still operating with wisdom that, you know, we don't want to be a cause of anybody getting the virus. We're looking to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So we pray that when you reach a level that you are comfortable with, that you, if you do not have a church home, that you would consider Merritt Assembly of God and being a part of what God is doing. When this all emerges, we're looking to be debt-free, be more supportive of missions than ever before, and being able to focus with a laser precision on the target that God has for us as far as our mission statement, which is to be a blessing. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And today we're going to talk about some of the practical manifestations of what love looks like. Okay? So verse number 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do these things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Okay, so we're going to stop the reading there. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. I want you to understand that Jesus made that sacrifice before we had embraced him as Lord and Savior. He was laying down his life while people were crying out for his crucifixion. They would have rather had an insurrectionist than they would Jesus. Wow, does that sound like a modern-day headline? I want you to understand that Jesus didn't love us because he saw beautiful things in us. Apart from him, we were dead. Apart from him, we were just really, what's the word, absorbed with sin. I mean, just consumed with sin, and God can't tolerate that in his presence. So Jesus came in all of our hostility and all of our rage and all of our spiritual ugliness. He came and he laid down his life for us. By the way, that is the standard by which husbands are supposed to love their wives. Not necessarily meaning that we got to go to the cross, but we've got to be willing to lay down our life for our wives. Okay? That's not even debatable. Let me put it to you this way. I hadn't played golf for a while a few years ago. This goes back a few years. And I decided that I was going to go to the driving range and I was going to practice. And so I was out there. I don't know if I was going to play golf that day and was practicing beforehand. I think I was just practicing. And there were two guys that were there talking on the range, and the one guy was saying, yeah, I'm wanting to do this, and my wife just won't let me. And it had to do with a tax return. I wasn't eavesdropping on their conversation. They were just talking that loud. And the other guy said, well, it's your tax return. Why don't you just go ahead and do what you want with it? And I almost wanted to stop what I was doing and say, do you know what the standard for husbands loving their wives is? It is not getting everything that we want. It is loving our wives to the point that we are saying, you know what? All the other dreams that I have are inferior compared to the joy that I have in being married to you. It's not that we set our wives up on pedestals. That's where God is. God deserves to be worshiped. But we recognize that our wives are a gift from God, that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and that we should love them enough to be willing to set aside our desires, if that means making their life even better. Jesus laid down his life as a testimony of his great love for us. Now listen, it says, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not only do we do that for our spouse, but there are times when we're going to do that for our brothers as well. That means that there are times when we are going to do that for people who don't know the gospel. Back in, let's see if I can figure out what day this or what year this was. I believe it was about 2000 and, well, it was in the early 2000s. I'll just leave it at that. It was in the early 2000s, and I was invited to go on a missions trip. And I prayed about it, and I felt like God wanted me to go on this missions trip, but there was a timing issue, and that was my son was going to be getting his driver's license, and we wanted to provide him with a car, and you know we didn't have a car in mind, but we knew this: our finances weren't phenomenal. And so I had a little bit of money that had been saved up and was praying about what to go. And I told my wife, I said, I really feel like God wants me to go on this missions trip. But, you know, I also want to buy Rick a car. Oh, I just told you my son's name. Hi, Rick. So she said, well, if you feel like God has called you to go on the missions trip, go on the missions trip. It's still a few months away until he's going to be able to drive anyway, and God will provide. And so that was the course that we set out to do. And a friend of mine who is a mechanic, one of the greatest men of God that I know, called me after I came back from the missions trip. And he said, look, a friend of mine is selling this car. And he didn't want much money for it. And he said, look, if you don't buy it, he knew that I was looking for a car for my son. And he said, if you don't buy it, I'm going to buy it. And you have to understand, this person is a mechanic. He's not looking for more things to work on. He was looking at it as if he said it was a good enough car to buy, that was testimony to me. And so we ended up going on the missions trip, and God provided so that I was able to be a blessing to my son. And I want you to know that whenever God asks you to extend yourself in love to another individual, you will not end up being indebted to God. God is going to provide for you a blessing. we ended up getting that car for a fraction of what the missions trip cost, but it was a good little car. I mean, it had an air conditioner that worked. It was for a teenager, and it wasn't a brand new car, but he was able to drive that for quite a while. And you just didn't have to pamper it. It was a great learning vehicle. He drives much nicer vehicles now. He really does. It wasn't about whether or not it was going to be a brand new car. We've never had a brand new car. The one I drive now is the closest thing that we've ever had. And it was a gift. Somebody that doesn't come to my church just knew that we had blessed so many people that they wanted to bless us. And so I will tell you that when it comes to practical expressions of God's love on behalf of other people, for the glory of God, God is going to make sure that everything is taken care of. So he says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And so there needs to be this relationship. Now, I can tell you that there have been times when my siblings needed something and I was able to provide for them. And there have been times when I needed something and my siblings have been there to help provide for us. And it is not a, you know, okay, well, you've done this before. It's just, look, we're family. We're in this together. We're in this together. I know that there are a lot of families that there's sibling rivalries and there's strife and discord and hurt and offense and all of that sort of stuff, and they don't talk about. You don't see that in the Word of God as being a role model. You see that we are supposed to be practical blessings to other people. Paul wrote and he said, look, the Jewish people have sent you the Word of God, and now the Gentiles, they had tangible goods during a time when Israel was going through a famine, and Paul would go around and he was taking up collections so that they could take the money back to Israel so that they could buy food to minister to all of the people of that region. And he said, look, we're all in this together. So if you've got worldly goods, if it's finances, you know, we've had cars before that we've been able to give away. We give away a lot of clothes. Sometimes they hang in the closet so long they shrink, if you know what I'm talking about. And so we give them away. If people need stuff, my wife and I here a few months ago, bought half a cow. Well, we needed to make room in our freezer for what we had bought. And so what we had in our freezer, we ended up taking to one of the families in our church that needed groceries. And so it was a blessing to them. You and I, if we have worldly goods and we see our brother in need. Now, I want to address this, and I want to address it in a balanced way. I want to address it in a godly way. And that is this. If a person has not been able to distinguish between a want and a need, it's going to be a difficult way to minister, because they're going to identify needs in manners which are actually wants. So one of the cars one of the vehicles that we gave away, it was because I became aware of a need. There was a single mom in our church, and we found out she was walking 3 miles each way to go to school on top of having kids. And when I found that out, I was like, I wonder if we could end up giving her one of our vehicles. The vehicle that I was driving, as a matter of fact, wasn't a great vehicle, but I tell you what, it sure beat walking 3 miles each way. And so I went to my wife and I said, how would you feel about giving a vehicle to this lady? She said, I'm okay with it if you're okay with it. And I said, well, we'll have to work on getting another vehicle lined up. But let me go ask her if she can even if she can afford the insurance, because I don't want to give her something that is going to be a burden to her. I want to give something to her that will be a blessing. I said, can you afford insurance? Can you afford the gas and all that? And she said, yeah, we can afford that. And so here's the keys. Because and what that did, while we had committed to giving the vehicle, what I didn't realize is that God was dealing on someone else's heart from outside of our church who was going to give me a vehicle. That vehicle had the best air conditioner of any vehicle I've ever owned in my life. And that vehicle, we ended up giving away as well to another person in need. You've got to know what the need is, but I will tell you this. You've also got to make sure that you are not empowering a person to maintain a demonic stronghold in their life. And so if the reason that they have a need is because they have an addiction and they're spending all of their money on drugs or alcohol or other vices, and now they don't have food to eat, you've got to realize that their need is not what they think it is. Their need is deliverance. Their need is to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we have practical steps in place. Not that we are being stingy or miserly or hard-hearted or anything like that, because we've got people that are givers. Our church is blessed with people who have a heart to give. But we want to give to be a blessing to them. And so it's not that we want to shut up our heart to them. We want to express the love of God. A person's greatest need is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto him. I tell our congregation this. I said, look, if you are having financial issues, you can't afford not to tithe. I tell pastors, you can't afford not to tithe as a church. You can't afford not to be blessed. The only way that we can be a blessing is when God blesses us. But if the love of God is dwelling in us, we are going to be looking for practical ways to minister to people. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 10, one of the things that Jesus said was that you go out and you meet, you establish relationship, and you pray for them, and you meet the needs, and you proclaim the gospel. Okay? If we just meet needs and we don't get to proclaim the gospel, we have missed the greatest need that the person has in their life. Okay, so we are not supposed to, as you go on to verse number 18, it says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So we speak the truth in love, and we love in truth, and we love in action. Love is an action word. If you ask people, now this is going to be a generic statement. It's been something that has been described through the years. And that is this: men tend to look at love as a decision. Doesn't mean that everybody looks at it that way. It just means generally, which is 51% of men versus 49%, you know, or 50.1 versus 49.9. That means there's more guys that look at it as a decision than anything else. Many men look at love as a decision. The majority of women look at love as an emotion. And so those two things can change. You can change your mind, and you can change your heart. You can change your emotions. And so as long as we are just looking at it as one or the other, you're going to have relationships that are moving up and down, and people changing their minds, and the heart changes all over the place. In actuality, love is an action. It's a God-inspired action. It's an action that touches our mind and our emotions. It is something that comes out of our spiritual relationship with God, and it manifests in practical expressions of love. Okay, so it is a decision. I made a decision to love my wife, and I'm going to continue to make the decision to love my wife. And I made that decision because God told me, this is the woman that I want for you. And I could tell you what it said. He said, I'm going to take the thread of your life, and I'm going to take the thread of her life, and I'm going to weave together a beautiful tapestry that is more beautiful than either thread could have ever been on its own. That was what he said. Unbeknownst to me, he was telling her in ways that she could understood. She didn't tell me. I didn't tell her. God was speaking to us both. And so there are emotional ups and downs, and there's times when it's easy to decide, and other times it's intentional to decide. But the one thing that never changes is that the relationship that I have with God says that the best thing that I can ever do for my kids is to love their mother. And the best thing that I can ever do for her is to stay in love with Jesus and continue to lay my life down for her in actions, in words, in time, in finances, whatever. No, it says, we love in deed and in truth, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. A biblically based expression of love that says, you know what? My old carnal self is not looking to give things away. My old carnal self is looking to heap things unto myself. Something wonderful has taken place in my life. And so I want to encourage you that if your relationship with Jesus is solid, he's going to want you to be a blessing. He's going to show you ways to be a blessing. That's why Merit Assembly of God exists, is to be a blessing to those around us. And I pray that we'll be able to meet other people's needs. God bless you. You have a great Monday. We will see you next time
right here on Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.